I'd like you to think with me about these different words that I'm going to share. I'm going to share a list of words with you, and I want you to just think about what they bring to your mind. Okay? Lottery. Wealth. Billions. Money. Mansions. Yacht. Private jet. Hollywood. Wall Street. CEOs. Fortune. Okay, you get any picture, any ideas in your head of different things? A lot of those things have something in common, and as I put that list together, I did so because they all have something in mind. They all have this likeness, and that is riches. When I think of all of those different terms, I think of someone that's rich. I think of somebody that's got a lot more than I when it comes to monetary assets. Now here's another list. Listen to this one. Heat, healthcare, car, food, modern home, property or land, a bed, electricity, running water, a refrigerator, windows, doors. You think about that? That's more of the common life in America, isn't it? But in reality, as compared to the rest of the world, it's rich. It's riches. It's interesting as you look at the studies how the majority of the world lives. And it's far, far below where we scratch out a meager living here in America. Here's another list. Joy. Peace. Love. Fellowship. Hope. Forgiveness. Scriptures. What about that list? Riches? Could it not be said that those that have those qualities, and there are many others, are rich? Dear church, we are very rich. We are a people that are very, very wealthy. And this wealth is not because of our pocketbooks or our jobs, of our homes or our cars, but this wealth is because of the God we serve. We are wealthy and rich because of who we are in Christ. There's a book of the Bible that addresses our wealth and riches in Christ. The first half speaks of that wealth, that spiritual wealth that is ours in Christ. And then the second half of that book teaches us how to have a spiritual walk because we are spiritually wealthy. As your pastor, one of the things that I do fervently is I pray and I ask God for direction on how we are to approach the Word of God. What are we to study together? I've said this before, but there is no written schedule in the back of my nice red Bible that says how preachers are to preach and when they're supposed to cover certain passages. Sometimes I wish there was. But in reality, There is a very, very spiritual dynamic in the fact that God wants to guide his church. He's the head, not some man that puts a list down on a piece of paper. And God knows this church. He knows you and he knows me. He knows what's going on in your life right now, even if I don't or anybody else might not know it, but God does. And so, as your pastor, I'm on my knees asking God, what do we do? What do we cover? These are your people. We are your church. Where do you want us to go, and what would you like us to study? Interestingly enough, all the way up until Friday, I was pursuing a study in the book of John, and very clearly, on Friday, God redirected us to the book of Ephesians. So I want to encourage you to go to the book of Ephesians this morning. The book of Ephesians is the one I was describing to you. It is a letter written from the Apostle Paul to the church on the country of Asia. Ephesus is on that country. It's where modern-day Turkey is, and Ephesus is on the western coast of that land, and the Apostle Paul visited there at least twice, on his second and third missionary journeys. It is recorded for us that he spent at least, or nearly, 3 years at this place. Now, with that being in mind, that's a special, special place, because if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he did a lot of traveling. And if he wasn't in prison, he was traveling. And so he spent time with these people. And it appears as if he knows them well and he has a tender heart for them, that he writes them this letter. And as I said before, what we see in this letter is chapters 1 through 3, our spiritual wealth. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 is our spiritual walk. What comes first? Understanding who we are and how rich and wealthy we are. And I'm telling you, we're not talking about a physical prosperity this morning. We're talking about spiritual prosperity. We're talking about the things that God puts in our lives, gives to us because of his precious Son, Jesus Christ, and what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. If you are a Christian today, if you are one that has trusted in Jesus Christ, you are one that believes in Jesus, and God has given him to you, and as your Savior, and as a result of that, your life has been overflowed with spiritual wealth. This is key, because I believe so many of us walk around in this world as spiritual paupers, as beggars, as people that are either forgetful of what we have in Christ, ignorant of what we have in Christ, or choosing not to abide by it or live according to what they have in Christ. And all three of those things in any different order or arrangement can be true in our lives. This study is going to be really key for us, because what we're going to be going to do through the first half of this book is building the case for us as spiritually wealthy people, so that as you go out from this place, you will go out realizing, wow, that's me, and that is true in my life. And as we build up that foundation of spiritual wealth in your life, we then will hit the last three chapters and talk about how to walk as a result of your wealth, how to live, how to apply the richness of Jesus Christ into your everyday life. In counseling, it always seems that I end up in the book of Ephesians sometime or another when I'm ministering to folks and seeking to encourage and help them in challenges of life. I mean, that's how practical this book is. And I really hope and I pray that God will open our hearts and minds to these truths, and not only just to equip us, but help you to be able to equip others, to bring hope and help to other people. Well, you got your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 1. Please follow along as I read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who hath worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, I read that entire passage to just kind of whet your appetite. There's no way we're going to cover all of that today, but I trust that as we read that, your appetite is heightened as you realize, wow, there's some incredible things in that passage. Now, this book of Ephesians is full of truth, and I do want to just give you a brief highlight of what all is contained in this book. It begins by laying out for us the blessings of being in Christ. Then there's the salvation by grace. There's unity in Christ that he brings to both the Jew and the Gentile. There's the truth of being strong in Christ. And there's many other things that are found just in the first three chapters. But then in the latter part, there is discussion on the church. There's discussion on repentance and holiness, on marriage, on children, parents, workers, employers, spiritual warfare, and prayer. I would be surprised if your heart was not touched by at least one of those things, as they touch on all the major areas of our lives. This morning, yes, we're introducing our study in the book of Ephesians, spiritual wealth to a spiritual walk. But this morning, I just want us to first of all identify ourselves and realize who we are in Christ and what we are called. Apostle Paul, in the first verse, calls us by two distinct terms or adjectives. And I want us to embrace these titles and descriptions as our own. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Here's the first one, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Now, saint. We hear about saints, don't we? And most of the time, when we hear about a saint, we hear about a saint in the context of other churches or religions. The saints are people that are venerated or worshipped and looked upon as great, looked upon as way above normal people, looked upon as having special powers and abilities. That is not a biblical understanding of a saint. That is man putting on his own definitions of a saint and applying this to certain people. No. Dear church, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible calls you a saint. Now, maybe in our homes, we have used it in a different context, and we desire our children or our spouses to be saints. But let's consider the context of what we're talking about. Paul writes to the saints which are at Ephesus. Saints is a word, it's an adjective in the Greek, hagias. It is a word that means holy. It can be translated holy, but in this context, what we see is it's to the holy ones. It's describing the people to which he is writing, holy ones. And they are holy ones which are at Ephesus. Now, as we're thinking about this idea of being holy, holy is the picture of being set apart. You have the entire face of the globe filled with people. But the church is to stand out. There is to be a distinction between this globe full of people. The church should be set apart, should be standing out. And not so such in a way that there is a wall of separation, that there is no interaction between the church and the world, but in such a way that there is a difference in conduct and character than the world. Now that holiness, that being set apart, is only possible through Jesus Christ. You and I cannot manifest in and of ourselves, muster up enough ability and strength to be holy. Can't do it. We need help. And when we have trusted Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we are given the Spirit of God, and we are then given and enabled to have the ability to live a holy life. Believer, are you living a holy life? Now, you may ask, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, it's interesting. If you would read the book of Ephesians, it's only 6 chapters. You read the whole thing. By the time you get to the end of it, you'll have a good understanding of what it means to be holy. I mean, you have chapters 4 and 5 and 6 that give practical insight on how we are to live and operate. Even just chapter 4 alone provides almost step-by-step instructions on how you can live a holy life. How do I know if I'm holy? Well, you can ask yourself some very simple questions. Is my life such that is different than that of the world? And we're not talking about being a geek or a nerd and that kind of weirdness. No. is your character? Are you a man of integrity, a woman of integrity? What about your tongue? In the lunchroom, does your tongue match that of the others? Or is there a distinct difference about your tongue? What about your parenting? We pick on Walmart, but that's what we do. So we're going to pick on Walmart again. You go in Walmart with your family. Is there a distinction between the way you parent your children in Walmart than the other people that you hear parenting in Walmart? This is where the rubber meets the road, really. There, holiness. Now, he's writing this, and he says this in a lot of his letters. He introduces his letters with, I'm writing to the church, I'm writing to the saints. He does the same thing here in Ephesus. I'm writing to the saints which are at Ephesus. And the picture is, here's a group of people, but there is a specific entity amongst them that is set apart. They're different, they're holy. Is that you? Is that this church? Are we holy? Now, as we go through the book of Ephesians, we're going to see several marks of holiness and what it means to be a saint. And I don't have time to cover all of them today. But I want us to identify ourselves and realize and start calling ourselves by who we really are, a saint, a holy one, and live up to that name. You know that where you go shopping, they invariably always have name tags. And I don't know why, but it seems like when I go to Walmart and I have a blue shirt on, people come and ask me where the scissors are. Now, that's sometimes you can have fun with that, but I don't do that. But nevertheless, there is a very distinct mark about being an employee at Walmart, isn't there? There's the khaki pants and the blue shirt, but there's something else. There's the name tag. There's the name tag that says, how may I help you? And then it says, Joey. And then it says, cashier. Yes, I do look at name tags. And you think about that name tag and you think about that identifies them as the employee, the worker, the one who is knowledgeable as to where things are. Invariably, you sometimes come upon a person in a blue shirt and khaki pants with a name tag that just doesn't seem to know where things are. And you come across them and they're indifferent. They'll grunt and tilt their head, or they'll send you off to some, or here's the classic one. Can anybody come and help this guy over in aisle 3? They pass the buck. But then you always have the pleasure of people just coming up to you and saying, how may I help you? Are you looking for something? You look lost. That's me. And they are ready and eager to help. Now, why do I say all of that? Well, they're marked. They are known as being employees of Walmart. Just such a ridiculous illustration, but think about this. Apostle Paul is writing to the saints at Ephesus. Do they realize who they are? Do you realize who you are? Do you realize that when Paul writes this letter and he says to the saints that he's actually also including you? Do you have the name tag of and the uniform of a saint? Do you mentally understand the reality of I am a holy one of God? Take ownership over that truth. It has been given to you by God through Jesus Christ. It is His gift to you. It is through him that you have been given such a status. And it is a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be considered a holy one of God. And dear ones, it can be you, it should be you and me. Are you a holy one? Because before we embark on such a study of great riches, we need to realize and say, this is for me. Now he uses another adjective. He writes to the saints which are at Ephesus, but then he also says, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be faithful? Why would he include that as a part of his introduction? You know what? The Apostle Paul, I believe, it would have been interesting to know him, to understand his personality, to know what he thought and how he looked at people. But we also understand that he writes all of this under the inspiration of God. So this is God using him to put his words down on paper. And but the Apostle Paul, I believe, there's personality and character that come through in these writings. But God inspired him to write to the faithful that are in Christ Jesus. Now, again, we have to ask ourselves, is that me? Is that me? You know, one thing that I'm encouraged about is that when the Bible calls saints saints, it's not talking about perfect people. Is there an amen? Anybody perfect here? Uh-uh. I mean, we can say that safely just because of the book of Ephesians alone instructs saints on how to be more saintly. Or shall I say, how to live out a saint's life in a faithful way? How to be a faithful saint? See, before we get started, I don't want you to be discouraged and say, man, there's no way I'm a saint. No, that's what you got to get out of your mind. You got to stop that. You got to say, I am a saint. You got to place that name tag on your chest. That is me, and I'm going to be a faithful one. How? The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians the prescription for how we can be a faithful saint in Christ Jesus. It begins by understanding your wealth in Christ, understanding all that has been given to you, and then as a result of that, you live out, you fly for the Lord Jesus Christ. You live for him. All this is just by way of introduction to prepare us for the studies to come. I believe these studies are going to be enlightening. They're going to be challenging. I hope they get you excited about being a Christian. I hope they get you excited about how wonderful it is to know Christ. I hope it educates you as to the ministry of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God in your life. You know, you may know you're wealthy, but do you understand what to do with that? Do you understand what's going on inside as a result of the incredible wealth that's been given to you? The book of Ephesians will shed light on those things. But I'm looking forward to how we practically apply all of this in our lives. The practical portion of the book of Ephesians, I believe, is going to be of tremendous benefit to you in your walk, as it has been in mine. Lord, I thank you for our time together, and again, I want to exalt and praise you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would empower your people. to apply the truth of this book of Ephesians. Lord, may we embrace what it means to be a saint. Help us to look for it, to be hungry for it. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.